Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. My breath is now free while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit. Sweep
you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I mean, I want the Lord to sweep over your soul today.
Yes.
Amen. That's what we desire, fellowship with Him. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Seems like it's been forever. It's only been one weekend that we were out, but it just seems like a long time. And I think that's the way it should be when we miss one another the way we do. So it's, again, good to be here today. I want to remind everyone of our meetings next weekend with Brother Ben Norrod. Looks like the weather's going to do pretty good for us between now and then. I hope so. And so just remember service next Saturday night at 6 p.m. and then Sunday regular time. And then Sunday afternoon after we eat, we're going to come back in here and let everybody express their gifts of singing. Amen. Who wants to do that? Amen. So get your songs together. Amen. We really enjoy that time, and I'm going to tell you something. Brother Ben enjoys that time,
yeah.
And him and his wife. And so I think she's going to be able to make it. That's still up in the air because of the school and what they do with their schedules. It might interfere, but he said that if she can't come, then he would do some extra singing. And I said, we're going to hold his feet to the fire on that one. So, amen, let's just be in prayer for those meetings. Amen. And I forgot, didn't get the prayer request in this morning for Sister Mary. She had, a few days ago had fallen on the ice, and she didn't break any bones or anything like that, but she's really sore and having a hard time walking, you know, and so we want to just remember to keep her in prayer. And also Brother Tim, the ones that are missing today, Brother Ben, Sister Shirley, so remember all of them. If they're listening right now, just want you to know that when you're not here, we do miss you, not just by not seeing you, but we miss the pull. The preacher misses the pull, isn't that right, Brother Daniel? We miss the pull of the word because there's really something that goes on in the spirit realm when people are pulling on the word. So let's just remember them. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to start out with Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. What title is today, Come Out of Her, My People? But really a subtitle of The Revealing of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. And then she will have it here on the multimedia screen. I really appreciate the ability to have that up there and to have our sister there faithfully running the computer that sometimes doesn't cooperate very well. So, sister, there's grace. We know it's not you. When that thing messes up, we know it's the computer. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, and unto the angel of the church Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, which are the kings of the earth, right, and all the nations, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just ask God that you'd break the bread of life today with your children. We know, Lord, that in you that all things are yea and amen. And so, Lord, as we sit in heavenly places this morning, we surrender our hearts to you, and we just give this time to you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and lead us and guide us in every way. And Lord, we pray that you go to those that are missing today. We pray that you touch them that are sick, Sister Mary and Brother Tim and Sister Shirley. And Lord, we pray you touch Brother Ben. Ask that you bless him, Lord, for the work he did here in shoveling the parking lot. And so, Lord, we just commit these things this time into your hands and ask for your blessings upon everyone. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. That verse 23 is very, very powerful. For I will kill her children with death. And you know what the prophet said death was? Death was eternal separation. That's not just dying in the flesh, but that's eternal separation. And what a pronouncement of judgment upon this. Church within the land, within that Thyatiran age, that he said they had those there that would the Jezebel, he called her Jezebel, and that he would kill her children with death. And he said, and therefore all the churches are going to know that I search the reins and the hearts. When this happens, so we look out here and we see all this denomination, all these things, but God said, when I get done doing what I do, they're all going to understand. The Baptists are going to understand. The Methodists are going to understand. The Pentecostals are going to understand. And even people in the message are going to understand that you don't get anything past him. Right. You're going to find out. They're all going to know that he searches the reins and the hearts when he brings this judgment upon her and upon her children. Right? Right? And so who can escape that kind of eye that can see and know the things like that? And I pray that none of us find ourselves in that place where those things are headed to us. And I believe God has provided everything we need to make sure that doesn't happen to us. We've already talked here in the last few months about how that here in the message we as the message unfolds, we've been going through the sequence, the same sequence of events that Israel did when they come out of Egypt on their way to the Promised Land. We talked about that several times recently, and the prophet actually told us that we are in the third Exodus. We are in an Exodus just like Israel was, and I'm going to try and go through this quick this morning so we don't hold you real long, but I do have a pretty good amount to cover here. And so we're going through this third Exodus where they went out of Egypt into another land. We're coming out of a spiritual baptism into a body change, basically, where we'll wind up. And so we are following that same sequence, and we've got to tell ourselves that when God sets these things up like this, and He says that here at the end time, we're going to go through the same steps, we've got to recognize we're going through those same steps that they did back there. And so when they were in bondage, so were we. We have to admit that. The first thing we can do to get somewhere with God is just to accept and recognize the condition that we're in. And so when they were in bondage, so are we. When God sent a prophet to them with signs and wonders to cause them to be able to come out in this Exodus, then so did He send us a prophet with signs, wonders, to do the same thing. Right. We have to recognize that this is that which the Scriptures has told us would come. I was thinking this morning, you realize, and I know in the Bible we read about they're in the nation of Israel, they'd have a prophet, maybe everybody knew, oh, this man's a prophet, and they might see that gift work and how he could know and discern. But you realize in our day, after the recording system was made, and even video system was made, in no other age was this gift of a prophet put on display like it was in our day. Right? Right there on display, on tape, and some of it on video, with testimony after testimony, even magazines after magazines. This thing was published worldwide. Never happened in another day like that. Right? So what do you think God's going to be able to do with this testimony when it comes time to bring people up into judgment and look at them and what they did with the Word? We've never had that until this day. And so when we saw that God sent a prophet to them to bring them out, then we know He did the same thing to our day. And we need to recognize this is that. This was the prophet that was to come to bring us out of the bondage that we were in, and some are still in, to bring Him out and take us into our promised land for this day. When we look at those Scriptures and we see they had a token, then we know we've got a token today. This is the same thing, right? If they had to have it, then we have to have it. It had to be more than just showing a sign of circumcision in their flesh. They had to have the token on display. We know that we have to have it today the same way. Right. Amen? Amen? We know that when they had a journey, they had to go through the journey to get to the Promised Land. It wasn't just, bam, they were there. There was a journey. There was testings. There were tryings. Then we know we have them too. Right? It's a journey. It's not something's going to happen just like that. It's a journey. When they had a Dathan and a Korah that caused people to rise up against that prophet, we've had a Dathan and Korah come up and call people to rise up against this prophet.
Right.
This is that which you see there in the Scriptures, and it's happening again, right?
Yeah.
Amen. It gives me confidence to see that I can see this as Bible reacting out itself.
Right.
And so when they had a Dathan and a Korah, so do we. When they had a Balaam that caused Balak to cast a stumbling block, we've had a Balaam today. We've had stumbling blocks that have cast before people today. When they had a Kadesh Barnea and a showdown there where they began to commit whoredoms, they left the sacredness of the word that they were called to and began to commit whoredoms there, then we realize that's happened in our day also. Amen? And so one of the major things there that was there in that Exodus, that a major underlying issue there with Israel was that it wasn't just getting them out of Egypt, but getting Egypt out of them. They were on the journey, well out of the reach of Pharaoh, but still within their hearts, they still had the desire to be back in Egypt, and yet they were in bondage. They were in slavery. See, it's very strange how slavery works and how bondage works. That a people could be sighing and crying and yet want it. It's sad, right? But they had been brought out, and yet every time something rose up, every time some little test or some trying came along and tested them. I don't know why this is doing this today, like it normally doesn't do, but every time a testing and trying come along, let's go back to Egypt. Every time we don't know what God's doing, Moses is up on the mountain, we're not sure what's going on, well, let's just start worshiping like we did back in Egypt. Let's build a calf. Right? Every time something gets tough, we want to revert back to something that at least we kind of feel like we knew before.
Yeah.
That's the nature of humans. Yeah. That's what people do when stuff comes along and they get into places they're not sure of, they're unsure of. And so it's the same way today. When something comes up, well, let's just revert back. But we read there in the scriptures that we are not of those that draw back. Because when you draw back from God, you are drawing back toward perdition.
Right?
We're not of those, saints. We're not of those who draw back away from what God is doing and what God is revealing. We don't draw back from that. When it goes, gets tough, we get, you know, it's a survival of the fittest out in the woods. It's the same way in the spiritual matters, survival of the fittest.
Right?
Right? So we're not those who draw back. But we believe. How much do we believe? We believe and we believe and we believe everything that God has given. We believe unto the saving of our soul.
Amen.
We don't stop short somewhere just because we don't understand things or because stuff has got tough on us. We don't stop short. Drawing back, leaving the word. If you remember Cain, the other day when we titled Spiritual Fornication, Cain left the word. Look where he went, how Nimrod, what he did, and how they left and become believers of multiple gods. Remember Esau, he had his position, and he left it. The angels had their position, and they left it.
Right.
See, there's a common thread there, that when the truth is all expressed there, and then they leave that truth, then that's the problem there. And you'll find out that God's children don't do that. God's children don't leave the truth. Amen?
Right.
So, this is, as St. John, we read, I think, the other day, that you've heard the Antichrist would come, and there's already Antichrist, and he said, because they went out from us. There you go again. We went out from the group of believers. And we know, I'm sure that John had no doubt who he was, that he was one of the disciples, and that, you know, I don't think he doubted one bit that he was a believer and he was going to be there. So he could say, hey, I know this is truth that we're standing in, and so when these people went out from this that we believe, they went out from God's truth because he knew they were in truth. And so, and it manifests that they were not part of it because he said if they were to have been part of it, they would have no doubt it would have continued, see? Because God's sheep know his voice,
right?
They will not follow another. So you see this thing about going out, leaving the word of God. And so this truly, when they left, they went out, it manifested that they could not have fellowship with the word. They could not have fellowship with John and with believers, with the believers, the people who stay with the word. Those that go out, it's because they can't have fellowship with the word. And you know that's the way it is. You can't really truly fellowship with someone that doesn't believe truth that you believe. Amen. If you remember, Brother Brown talked about Nimrod, that Nimrod, he caused a forced unity. I think Nimrod was the first one, if I remember correctly, the first one that began to practice war. But he went out to all the different surrounding communities or whatever and forced them into a forced unity to believe and be part of this system there and that he had, which now we know to be Babylon. He forced people to do that. And some of those people, I'm sure, that he went out and forced were people who still believed in one God and who was still trying to worship the way that it originally was. And he went out by force to conquer them and make them come and be part of his system.
Right.
Amen. And so We see how that was. And so, you know, if we look at our situation today, you know, things aren't any different. We look at our situation today that we could be forced, you know, by laws. Laws can be made to try and force us to comply with an ungodly system. Laws can do it. Laws can put pressure on you to try and make you comply with a worldly worship, worldly beliefs or whatever, right? We know that. Laws can do that. But also, just simply traditions, customs, things my family did. I should do it too because they did it, right? Peer pressure, community, just the way everybody at work does it. You know how it works. It's all expected that we all do the same thing, right? That's what's expected. And so it's there's many, many ways that it can put pressure on you, and it's all pressure on you to get you to not stay with the Word, get you to pull away, so you wind up in that other group. As Brother Graham said, there were two churches, and that was all there was two, was the ones that stayed with it, and then there was all of the rest, which was Babylon, right? Became Babylon. And so that pressure is there just to get you to leave the Word. And so those things can come from family and friends and from church and from governments and so forth. But it's all the same thing, trying to get people to leave the Word. So this does not mean, I'm going to say this, this does not mean that everyone who's left a message church is going to be lost and they're gone. Because there are some that won't come back, I know, but there are some who will come back. Amen? I'm believing that second part. They will come back because they're just under the influence of a wrong spirit. Right? And I'm claiming them as children of God that just has Satan has attacked them, especially because they were in a message church. He just attacked them. And they'll come back. And it's a real problem that they'll have to answer to that. I was praying this morning. I said, I know, Lord, I know. That they've sowed things and they'll have to reap. But you're the Lord of the harvest. Yeah. You're the one that controls how much they're going to have to reap of what they've sown. But bring them back anyway.
Amen.
Right? Bring them back anyway. Yeah. And just like Brother Brandon, when he was over there to pray for Florence Nightingale, and she was saying, pray that I die. And he's like, I can't pray for her to die. Right? I can't look out here and see people left and say, well, they're gone. No, I'm going to believe that they're coming back. I believe the promises of God are for them, right? And I'm going to make sure that my prayer reaches him, that influence is there, that he has to look at that and say, I got to bring them back because I got to keep my word.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Survival of the fittest. We believe that. So, the truth of it is that all of us has been under the influence of Babylon, Egypt, sin, Babylon, false religion.
Right. Right?
They're both synonymous in this, what we're talking about here. So when God says, come out of her, my people, what God is saying to us as his people is rid yourself of the lingering influence of her, the harlot system, in your life. Stop worshiping the way that she would have you to worship, how her influence, stop the traditions that she would have you do and the ways that she would have you do. Come out of all that and come into me, is what the Lord is saying. Come out of those things and stop embracing those things. And this is the very reason why God sent Brother Branham. God did not send, and this will sound funny or bad at it for a moment, but God did not send Brother Branham to tell you Jesus died for your sins. We already knew that.
Right.
The churches all over the world already knew that. What God sent that prophet with that gift here to do is to show us that we had left the light and we have to come back to light,
right,
to walk in that light.
Right.
Amen. And that's what his purpose was, sending him here. So, to get us back into the place where we walk in the light, where the scripture said in, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Amen? Get us back into the light. So if you remember, the word for our day, when it is manifest, is light. Right? How many remembers that? When the word is manifest, that is light.
Right.
And light is something that we must have. You know, the scripture says that when night cometh, no man can work. Right? You ever notice how that in the wintertime, when there's not a bunch of crops and stuff you got to do in the garden, the nights are longer and the days are shorter. So when night cometh, no man can work. God doesn't mean for us to try and be working in darkness. In darkness, when it's darkness, it goes through cycles, right? We have this in our own life. There's sometimes we have great revelation, and there are times where it seems like God is silent. Right? God does not want us to try and work in darkness. When you're in a time of darkness, then just rest. Take the things that the light, previous day light, and the work that you've done there, and you've done all you can do underneath that light for that day, and you've done everything, and now it's good, we're gonna, then just rest. And rest and know that at some point, God will begin to start revealing again to you. And when that sunrise, that light begins to come up and you begin to get revelation again, now there's work you can do on that revelation. Right? There's work that you can do, and there's only so much time you're going to be able to work under that revelation until it comes through a cycle again. So light is such that when it happens, you can work and you can do it and not stumble and not fall. But if you try and do it when you don't have that sufficient light there, well, then you're going to trip and fall and stumble. I remember years ago, when I was a kid, I got a brand new pair of boots. And we had a shop out behind the house quite a ways back there. And we washed the clothes in the house, but the dryer was out there. And so there wasn't any lights out there, but there was a light on the porch. And my stepdad had a welding machine rental thing, and so he rebuilt and worked on all these welding machines out there. And so, you know, laying out, wasn't junky or anything like that, but laying out, you know, in the places there, pieces of equipment and steel and different things, you know. And I went out there one night, take some clothes out there to put in the dryer. My wife's looking at me, says, I've never heard this story before. I went out there, put the clothes in the dryer, we'd take them in a trash bag. Big old trash bag, wet clothes. A lot of time it was diapers because we had little brother and sister at the time. Brand new boots. And I went out there and on the way back, I was running back and I tripped over a piece of metal and put a great old big gash on the top of that brand new boot because I was running in the dark. See? Remember that. God doesn't want you to, he wants you to walk in light. And he wants you to recognize these cycles and phases in life, but he also wants you to recognize these cycles through the ages, through the church ages, through the messages that come through Luther and Wesley and Pentecost and all the way up now. He wants you to recognize that when God gives light, we can do something about it. Right? Yeah. We can do something. We can work with that light. And he wants us to work and act upon the light that he's given. You know, light that happened yesterday, coming out here and in the parking lot of working and trying to make sure everything was good here at church. The sun was shining. That light was good for yesterday. But if I try to use that light from yesterday, it is 16 billion miles from here right now. How are we going to work with that light? See, God wants us to work with today's light. Today's. And remember, light is the word that God has promised. When that comes to pass, is vindicated, now you can get up and do something in your spiritual walk based upon that light, that message, that word that has been vindicated in your day. You can live by that.
Right, right.
If you don't, you're walking in darkness.
Right.
That's right. Amen. And so, we read a quote here, several quotes that throughout here. We're making good time, I think. God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. Not just partial separation. And Brother Graham says, now, if God said, let there be light, and there was no light, then it wasn't God that said that. But when God says anything, he must back it up what he says. And when the word of God has been vindicated, the word has been vindicated, that is light. Now, the word itself isn't light until it's vindicated light.
Right.
So people might fight you. You're saying the word's not life. The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. See? So to try and obey this Bible without the Holy Spirit in your life, it killeth. Right? Brings bitterness, brings all kinds of things. But when there's revelation involved, that's light. When it's vindicated, it's light. And so he says, the word itself isn't light until it's vindicated. If God said, let there be light, and there was no light, and it wasn't the word of God. But when light sprang up on the earth, it showed that the word was vindicated, and it was light. Now today, if God has made a promise, and when that promise is vindicated, then that is light. A promise for today, when that's vindicated, now we can walk in it. We can do something for God in the light of what God has vindicated in our day. What about Luther's day? No, it's gone. That light done traveled. But there is a message for the day that's vindicated that wouldn't be worth anything except God said he would do it, and now he brought it to pass. He's his own interpreter by bringing it to pass, and this has become light, and we can walk in it. So he says, that is light, and that's the light of the day when the word is a vindicated. The word for the hour is a vindicated. The word for the day. You can't walk just in previous days. Right? The word for the day is light. Amen. So in the light of that, let's talk about 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. She can put it up there and scroll through it as I talk about it and make comments along the way. But verse 5, this then is the message which you have heard of him and declared to you, that God is light. God is vindicated word. Right? In him is no darkness at all. When God gets an influence on your life, it will illuminate your pathway. It'll make you better. You'll be less likely to stumble and fall because light is upon you. Right? Revelation is in your life. See? You know what to do because now you can't do it because you're not walking in darkness. That's why it's so important to say, God, give me revelation that I can walk in this. Because right now, it's just letters just killing. I'm getting nowhere. But Lord, if you'll just quicken this to me, then I'll be able to walk in it. Yeah. And so, when his presence comes, it allows you to work and walk and do the things that you need to do spiritually in your walk with him. So the scripture says, if we say we have fellowship with him, God is light, he's the word, he's vindicated word. If we say that we're Christians, right? If we say that we have fellowship with God, we're claiming to be Christians, but we're walking in darkness. Now, what does that mean? If we're walking in darkness, in other words, we're claiming to be Christians, but we don't have revelation in our life. We're claiming to be Christians, but we're not walking in the vindicated word of the day. Am I still? Do you understand? You follow me?
Yeah,
right? If we call ourselves Christians, but we're not walking in the message of the day that God has vindicated supernaturally because the scripture said it would come and he's brought it to pass and did something we know only God could do. If we call ourselves Christians, but we're not walking in that, that's all the denominational churches. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Everybody, well, what about this and what about that? I'm telling you, it's right here in his word. He said, if we walk in the light, and if we don't, you understand? So he says that, and if we call ourselves Christians and we're walking in darkness, then we're liars. And we're not even living the truth. People calling themselves Christians, but not under the light of the day, are liars. Because the life they're living is a lie. Because they're telling the world that this is Christ, but there's no light in it. Right? Just a message of a bygone day, It's darkness. You can't get done in your day what needs to be done unless you have the light of the day to do it.
Right.
So his word makes that very clear. He says they lie and do not the truth. And this is a condition that's out there. This is a condition that we have to deal with ourselves as Christians. We're confronted with this because all those influences are trying to make it that way. So we're all dealing with that, and John says, but here's the thing, here's the way out, is that if we walk in that light, as he is in that light. I like that scripture because God is light, but God even lives and dwells and operates in his own word, his own light. He dwells in that light, right? And so he's saying, if we'll walk in the very thing that he's in, the very manifestation of Christ for your day is in there, and if we'll walk in that same thing, right? If we walk in the light as he's in the light, the revealed word, where is he? He's in his revealed word. He lives there. Then, if we do that, if we're in that light of the day, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me back up there. Then we have fellowship one with another. Remember what I said where John said, well, they went out from us, and that manifest they couldn't be part of us? They went out because they could not stay in fellowship with the Word. But if we'll stay with Word, then we can have fellowship with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you have access to the blood to cover all your sins. We've said this before in the past, that if you look at all the information there through the seven church ages, he never said, I have someone against you because you drank, you smoke, you cuss, you committed adultery. He doesn't say that. Everything he addresses there is pertaining to believing the wrong thing, false believing. It's all pertaining to this harlot system and the influence of false belief.
Right.
That's what he addresses there. Because if you can walk in the light of your day, you have access to the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all sin, all adulteries, all things that you've done, but only if you're walking in that light, vindicated light of the day. This is what it's saying. Right? Walking in the light of your day. And so, you don't have access to the blood. People don't have access to the blood like they think they do because they're living a lie. They're not even walking in the light for the day because they rejected it. They went out from the Word. When the Word advanced, they didn't advance.
Right.
So they pull back. And give you an example. And people can downplay this if they want to. But God did this stuff. In the message of marriage and divorce, we understand that the marriage divorce issue, well, it's always been an issue there. It was there with Moses. It was there with when Jesus had to deal with it in his day. Paul had to deal with his day. And it has to be dealt with in our day.
Right?
Right? We understand that. Read your Bible. It's right there.
Right.
And the reason why that's all through there is because that has to do with original sin.
Right.
So as long as we're here on this earth in a body without a body change, but that's all going to have to be dealt with because it's there. It's embedded in every culture, every nation. It's all there because of what it is. Right? And so we know that Satan has put his hands on all that. He did in the garden and through all peoples. He committed adultery and now all this filth and everything. That original sin just constantly repeated. Constantly repeated. Right? That's what the world's in today. And so basically everywhere you looked, people are guilty. Guilty of fornication, guilty of adultery, guilty of lust in their heart, guilty of adultery, right? They're guilty of all of it, just about everywhere you look. Probably, I don't know there'd be hardly anybody. Good to remember that Jesus was tempted that same way, but without sin. So he's able to help us. But, so here the prophet is in our day, and so Moses had to deal with it, and God gave Moses permission to allow them to divorce one another, but it wasn't that's really not the original plan, but God just allowed it because of the condition and the situation, right? Remember that? Jesus come along, he had to deal with it. Paul come along. Paul had to deal with it too. And Paul let us know that God had given him permission to give instruction pertaining to these things, right? So God had given Moses on the backside of the desert, gave Moses permission to allow something. It wasn't quite exactly the original plan, but just for a while, let's let it go. You know, he let it happen that way. Then Paul come along, same thing, had to deal with it. And God, him on the backside of the desert, God let him, gave him permission to tell your people, those who are following your ministry, Paul, if they believe you and they're listening to you, then underneath your leadership over them as the messenger to the age, then you let them and you say, here, I've got permission from God to tell you, this is what you do. Follow me? Then in our day, the same thing happened, that God, Brother Brown was dealing with this and went out there on the backside of the desert with signs showing that people testified and saw the pillar of fire going up and down on the mountain. And God revealed to him to come to his people and preach marriage and divorce and tell them that if you're following this message, if you believe me, what I'm telling you, if you believe this, right, then I God has given me permission to tell you, stay as you are, but don't you ever do it again. And so what I'm going to tell you was, if you walk in the light of your day, you have access to forgiveness of sins. Under your prophet, under your messenger, under Paul's ministry, under Moses, under Brother Brandon. If you walk in that, you have access to forgiveness of sin. But if you reject that, there's no blood covering for your sins. I just repeated the same thing I've been talking about. If we walk in the light. Vindicated word, a vindicated messenger that says, hey, this come from God and it's proven to be from God with the supernatural things there and the word to back it up that show it come from God. Amen. And so people in this world today, they don't really have forgiveness for their adulteries and all those things, those multiple marriages, when they've rejected the word for the hour, the light for the hour. That's a tough thing to say, but there it is. So the prophet knew. He was saying, hey, this is for my people. This is for those. And he later on there said, well, you said this and you said that and you told them this. And he said, hey, listen, I told you this is for my people. This is for the ones following this message. You believe this, then this comes from God to you. Right? What about those who reject it? See, the gospel's got teeth in it. And we've pulled all the teeth out of it to try and make it palatable to everybody. But we can't, as ministers of the gospel, we cannot make it palatable like that if God doesn't. We have to tell it like it is. Amen. We have to believe the right thing. So how does God get us to come out of her? Come out of her, my people? Well, to break us free from that influence. All he has to do is bring forth the revelation of Jesus Christ. All he has to do is expose his people to that revelation. And that's it. That's all he has to do, because she'll catch it. She'll grab it. His sheep knows his voice. They'll grab that. And what she grabs is the word of the day that's made manifest. And I'll take it another step further, because this word being made manifest today is in bride form. She sees it, she catches it, she becomes part of it. That's all it takes. The many layers and revelations and mysteries of the Bible that was kept hid until today, now that they're being made known, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ coming to her. She catches it. She rejects none of it because it's all Christ. She accepts that, embraces that, and begins to live according to that. She becomes the very manifestation of that word. She becomes the revival. Right? She becomes that revival because she has accepted it. She does not draw back from it, but she believes it and accepts it, and her life is changed by it. Amen. Is revealed to the bride, she embraces it, and then becomes that becomes him being revealed. Amen. hidden there. Because all of those mysteries, they're all revealing Christ. Because can't you hear the prophet saying, every verse, every line is Christ. If you don't see that, go back and read it again. Because we've entered into this time where the entire Bible, Revelation, is coming forth. All of those intricate types and shadows of how that Christ was in Joseph and all that. People didn't know those things not very long ago. These are all things that have been revealed in our time. And all of that is Christ being revealed. Amen? Christ being revealed. And that becomes light when it's being revealed. And when she embraces it and starts living it, she becomes that light. She becomes that vindicated word. Amen. You know, God created us in His image. We have hands, we have feet, we have arms, we have mouth, eyes. Right? And so when God would reveal Himself through the ages, He would have to reveal Himself in the same manner. Feet, arms, eyes, you understand, mouth. And so I'm going to read, and here's, this will be several quotes here, take a little bit, but you just listen, and it'll go right with what we're saying here. And this is a sermon in August of 1965, called Christ is Revealed in His Own Word. Everybody still with me?
Amen.
Christ revealed in His Own Word. I want you to get this. Amen. If anybody misinterprets Jesus Christ in the Bible not being God Himself and making Him the second person or one God out of three, listen, this would upset every word of the entire Bible. It would break the first commandment, "Thou shalt not have any other God before Me." All right? It would make the whole Christian race a bunch of pagan worshipers worshiping three gods. See what kind of Bible you'd have? We can say amen to that because we know we're beyond that one.
Right.
But what about things we're not beyond yet?
Right?
We're beyond that. So we know we can amen this. What about the things that we're struggling with in our lives that we haven't got victory over yet? So, Lord willing, we'll cover those later on. Probably not today, but... It'd make us a bunch of pagan worshipers worshiping three gods. See what kind of Bible you'd have? Then it'd make us what the Jews say we are, which said, well, which one of them gods is your God? See? So you mustn't misinterpret the Bible, for Jesus Himself is the interpretation of the Bible when He's made manifest. Now catch this. Jesus is making it manifest, and He's going to reveal Himself in each part of His body through the ages as it comes time. So He says, Jesus is the interpretation of the Bible when He's made manifest in the age that part of His body is being made manifest. So not all parts of His body was made manifest in Luther, right? Not all made in Wesley. But in each age, God is revealing a little bit of His body, a little bit of Himself each age, right? And And now, if it's Christ, and if it's the bride looking at it, is she going to reject that? No, she's going to love it.
Right.
And every time He reveals a little bit of something else about Himself, she's going to love it. Right? Because she is ordained to be His wife.
Right.
So, in the age that part of His body is being made manifest, if it's the hand... age, a hand age, different part of His body, it must be hand. It can't be head age. And if it's the voice age, well then, it can't be the foot age. When it's time for the head age, don't be preaching foot doctrine. Follow me? Foot, some other age. He's showing you these things. And I know some of this you've probably heard before, but this is the channel that the Lord has took me down on this. And so it can't be foot age, see? And now we're at the eye age. And now the next is Him Himself to come. See, prophetic. So He's telling you, right there in His day, we're in the eye age. Let's hear. That was a specific body portion manifestation of God in this day. What does the bride do when she sees him? Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's a part of his body being revealed. See, down through the ages, we started off from the foundation, from first church age, when the seed went into the ground, the complete seed, right? Then it come out through Luther. Then it come out through the feet, Luther. So he shows you there's one part of the body. And it come back up through Wesley and then into Pentecost, the tongues. There's another part of the body, right? The tongues and the lips, see? And now it's the eye prophetic of Malachi 4 and so forth. So he tells you what it is, Malachi 4 being manifest. There's the eye age being manifested in your day. That's light that we can walk in. If we're not walking in it, we're walking in darkness.
Right.
Amen. And now there's nothing else left to come but him himself to step into that, because that's the last thing there is. So he's telling us God through the ages has expressed himself through body manifestations, building the body up, bringing it to the head through Pentecost tongues, past Pentecost into the prophetic seeing age. And the only thing left after that is the actual intellect of Jesus Christ himself. No moving parts. No visible moving parts. We'll read it here as he talks about that. Now, nothing else to come but him himself. When he steps into that, but when he steps into that manifestation, what? Not the eye age again, but into a people who've got the intellect of Christ that has come through those ages, and he's built it up to that. And when he brings that manifestation, when he gets to that point, it's the full manifestation of Christ back in the church again in bride form. This is, and he says that in here. So when he steps into that, because that's the last thing there is, the next is the intelligence. We have no intelligence of our own. It's his. See, we have no sight of our own. How can a man foresee things? He can't do it. It's God himself. And it's becoming to a place, and he has governed the body all the way through the ages. He's governed how he's let this stuff out to reveal himself and how he come out. He's governed through this, through the body, all the way through. And then the complete body of Christ is revealed in the form of the bride that was taken out of his side, like Adam was at the beginning. Amen. Amen. You see, you can't see with your hands, yet it's part of the body. You can't see with the ears, yet it can hear. You can't see with the nose, yet it can smell. You can't see with the lips, yet it can speak. That was the Pentecostal age. But now it's the eye age of seeing. See? Now, there isn't one moving faculty beyond the eyes. Is that right? The next is the intelligence, which is Christ himself who controls the whole body. But an end time church that controls the entire, all the whole thing that was before, right? It takes this message to resurrect the Lutherans, the Wesleys, and all those down. Amen. No moving motion beyond that. See, everything has moved. See, you move your feet, you move your muscles, move your legs and everything. Move your ears, you can move your nose, you can move your lips and so forth. But after the eyes, there's nothing moves. Let me say it this way. This is my comments on this. I can see him speaking in tongues. I can see him shouting. I can see him running. But what he's talking about don't need that. Not to do away with that, but it don't need that. What he's talking about is beyond even his own ministry into where that actual person of Christ, which is the understanding of Christ that comes into that body when she has accepted and believed and received so much till the person of him comes in. And we wonder how we're going to be able to sit on a throne with him and judge. He's got this. But it only comes to those who accept him. Amen? To dislocate the scriptures, you might put his body together wrong. The foot where the head should be, or something. Just the same as, well, in other words, you might have Jesus teaching Moses' message. You might have, or even Wesley teaching Luther's message. You follow me? If you put those in the wrong spot, you got the wrong part of the body at the wrong time for the part of the body. Right?
Right.
Or Luther. Luther's age. Wesley preaching. And you might have now our age teaching Pentecost. The Pentecostal message. You see what kind of mess that would be in? This is what him's saying. Why? Because he had a ministry that could rebuke Pentecost. Right? You see what kind of mess this would be in? Pentecost has already showed its colors. Luther already showed his and went off into denomination and died right there. Amen? Amen. God has regulated the expression of himself down through the ages. And he's brought it up, and in Brother Graham's day, it was the I age. But now we've moved beyond that. Right? Yeah. Amen. No more moving faculties. That's when he steps into that manifestation in the person, but it's in the expression of the bride who is one with him, as Adam was at the beginning. Amen. He's made manifest in the age, in the part of the body that belongs to that age. So, what is the manifestation of Christ today? It is a people who have received the full word for the day, and they're living it. They're living it. They are that light. They are the revival. We are the revival. If you believe these things, we are the revival. This is light, and people around you see that they're going to be judged by what they see. So make sure that you're living the word, and you understand. So they're believing it and they're living it. They're no longer living any part of the harvest system. That's where he's taking us to. Not one jot or one tittle of the harvest system will the bride go for. It's over with. When she becomes fully dressed in his word, she will not be living, acting out, influenced by not one jot or one tittle of that harlot system and their teachings and their influence. That's what he sent the prophet here to do. Amen? And so, Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle of the word will pass away to all be fulfilled, right? And so I think I can say not one jot or one tittle of the word will she disbelieve. Every little bit of it. So how does God do that? All he has to do is just reveal the word, because most of you know my voice. Now I'm gonna say a few things here that's gonna bring in a lot of pet quotes or whatever, but to show you that goes right into this what I'm talking about. So she's not gonna live according to that harlot system anymore. She's not gonna be influenced by it anymore. She's gonna come out of that, because that's what he was sent to do, come out of her, my people. And so all God has to do is reveal his word, and she hears it. And she leaves the other thing. She's heard from her theophany. It's what Brother Brim said. When you recognize the word of God is eagle food. He's been talking about denominations. When you recognize the word of God is your food as eagles, you leave the other thing. You leave the harlot system. You leave the influence and traditions and all that that's been on the lives of everybody on the whole world, because the whole world is underneath that. Fornication, and he's calling us out of that, then we leave the other thing. We have then, at that point, been transformed into the living image of the living God. We've heard from our theophany. We've heard from that word representation in his presence that we are, the real us. When we recognize the word is what we feed on, and we stop listening to, and we leave the other things. And what happens when that happens? That transforms us into him, the living image of the living God. Which is back to what I said a while ago. so much that Christ comes into her and becomes that manifestation of him for the day. I have a quote on my phone. I was trying to find it while ago, and you have 10,000 pictures or screenshots. But there's a quote, and I don't have it exactly memorized, but it's along the lines of something like this, where Brother Ram says, "You may never lay your hands on somebody's dying and feel a surge of the Holy Spirit go through and make that person whole." And he gives examples like that. You may never do that, but you can live for it. You can embrace his word, right? But we're so guilty of being influenced by Pentecost and all that. Well, if you don't do that, then you don't really have nothing. And God's telling you, hey, this thing we're moving to doesn't need to see anything. They know exactly who they are. They know they're the manifestation of the word for the hour, whether they have healings and miracles or not. And we do have those, you understand, but we don't judge by that, because those things follow, right? Signs and wonders follow. I think Brother Daniel did this one time, had signs and wonders. Was it you had signs and wonders? He walked around and they were following him. They don't go out in front of him, right? So I'm not saying you don't have those things, but we've got to wean ourselves from saying, I got to have something or else I can't go. What you have is his word. You have the revelation of the word made flesh in your day that you now are. You have to understand that and know. Amen. And Bride, when she goes in that secret chamber with him, I guarantee you she knows when she comes out she's been there. Right? And later on, other people will realize she's been there. Right? But she knows first. Amen. Amen. She starts acting out the real her. This is how she dresses herself for the marriage. When she hears and recognizes, accepts, and lives the word for her day, that's how she dresses herself. Amen. And this goes beyond anything that can be seen, because it's not a public showing. It's third pull. It's not a public showing. Nobody's in that secret place with him and her. Amen. This is not something Satan can imitate. He can imitate all kinds of stuff. Tongues, prophecy, whatever. Shouting, whatever. Walking through coals of fire. But he can't imitate this. Right? Because he's not Christ, and he's not Christ's bride. Amen? So it's not something that he can imitate. It has to be much more than anything that can be seen with the eye. Because if it can be seen with the eye, it can be imitated. If it can be heard with the ear, it can be imitated, right? Amen. I love God's word. I'm almost done. We're just almost there. Christ revealed in his own word. Do you see him now in his word? And all of his word made manifest right here before us? He's talking about here, right in our day. Do you see him now in his word and all his word made manifest right here before us? Oh, church of the living God, get to your feet. Believe him with all that's in you. Hold to that little wheel in the middle of the wheel. Let it stabilize every move, every motion that you make, every thought that you have. May it be controlled by this tower on the inside of you. What? Him. When you've accepted all his word and he comes, then let that be the thing that controls everything you do, everything you think, every tradition you hold, every worship, way you worship, every prayer time you have, everything. Let everything you do based upon what you know is now in you, that's come to you out of this word. Amen. Every thought that you have may be controlled by this tower that's on the inside of you, because God is setting right in his word of the hour in the evening light, showing forth light. My brother is trying to tell you, he says, let this be what's controlled you, because God is sitting right in this very message we're talking about. He's right there. This is Christ being revealed in his own word. When he brings that word to pass, that's him being revealed now in bride form. Amen. Now it's the eyes. And he says, what good will you need eyes, or excuse me, he says, need light. He said both. He corrected himself. What good will you need eyes or need light if that eyes wasn't there to see? There has to be eyes first to see. And then when that comes, let me back up before I read the rest of it. So he's telling you that he's going to have light come. But before you'll even be able to see light, before you ever be able to come to this full, final revelation of Jesus Christ, you're going to have a seer first. You're going to have a prophet first. And then from that, through those eyes, can see the revelation, the light that's going to come. And he's saying, what good is it going to do to have light if you don't have that first? So it shows you, Bible speak, naturally speaking, you've got to have a prophet come along to make these things clear to us before we can ever be partakers of it. Amen. And so he says, you know, how can you, if you don't have eyes to see there? There has to be eyes first to see it. And then when that come, this is what he's saying, when that come, he opened the seven seals, reveal the evening light, taking all the mysteries that have been hid down through the church ages, and now reveal them as he promised he would do in Revelation 10, 1 through 7. And here we are today, sitting in the midst of the Word, and the Word being revealed to us by Jesus Christ, then this is God's Word. So then he said, you have to have that seeing and then that light. And when that light came, when it came, what did he do? He revealed the seven seals and all the church ages and all. That's the light to walk in. Right? Happy to say that that's the truth that we walk in, right?
Right.
Amen? We want full measure of that truth to have complete act in our life, controlling everything in our life. And so, this is God's Word, and His subject, as His subject, we must walk close to the author to understand it, for it to reveal. And be His subject, we must walk close to the author to understand it, for it to reveal. O Lord, what will Thou have me do if I must go to the different fields and preach the gospel? And so he covers that for quite a while. Oh Lord, what will you have me do? Seeing that these things are what they are, and we've come to what we are, what would you have me do, Lord? Right? That's what we should be saying. What would you have me do? Amen. This influence of this Word has to reach into every aspect of your life. It has to reach into every door, inside doors of your life. This is why these things were preached. It has to be eyes before you can see it. And when it came, it revealed these seven sealed mysteries. And here we are now sitting right in the Word, in the manifestation of the Word. But we've got to walk close to the author. O Lord, what will Thou have me do? Amen. We can ask ourselves that. Lord, what would you have me do? And for me, what that would have me do is to do everything I can to repeat this message, just to preach it, to share it with you, with friends, family, whatever. Amen? As the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, you are receiving your last sign. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't you love His Word? When you look through these things, you see God has got it so wrapped up. I mean, it is, He's taking care of it. We don't have to worry about it. We just get on board with what He has expressed and what He's doing. And that brings us to that place of great confidence. And this, as we read there in the Scriptures, cast not away your confidence, because it has great recompense and reward. Amen. How many wants a reward? I do. You know, I think, be honest with you, I think, you know, Lord, If I can, and I'm not saying this is the way it'll be, but this is the way I feel. If I can just be just inside that kingdom, And I can stand off in the distance with a pair of binoculars, and then I can watch you there in that city with our King. I'll be happy. I want to be there. I want you there. And I know that we can't get there if we reject His word and we have part of that harlotry system still in us. You know, you could be a one-person denomination. We don't want to do that, right? It must be word from the Creator. It has to be Him. Amen. And He has done every word, every which way you can think of to prove His word in this day. Amen. To be partakers of it is what we want to be. Amen. Let's bow our hearts and musicians can come. Lord, we just thank You for this word today. And Lord, I pray the grace of God would speak in the hearts of Your children now that they can embrace these things, Lord, that they're truth from Your word. Lord, I think back in the garden where it just took one word to make the whole fall of the human race. And Your prophet said so many times it will take every word to get us back. And that's what You've done, Lord. And we know You have a bride. You're going to have one. Your word says it's there. And she'll make herself ready. And so, Lord, we know she's not part of that harlot system. She's not the mother or the daughters. And Lord, she's not believing those things, acting out those things. She's totally surrendered to You and You alone. That's the desire of our hearts, Lord, that we would just be honorable to You and You alone. Teach us, Lord. Reveal to us, Lord, these things. Help us to be a perfect expression of You to this generation we're in. Help us, Lord, to live in such a way that would make others ask questions and ask and want to be part of it. We love You, Lord, and ask for these blessings now upon Your children. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
This is my desire.
Let's all stand. Worship for Jesus.